can see my Christmas lights. I still have Christmas. I don't think I want to put them off, to be honest. They're
Honey,
quite.
I'm not even surprised. If you have like Halloween, for you, nothing surprises me anymore. So you do you.
All this violence is not necessary. It's really not necessary. Oh.
It's not violence, it's passive aggressive. Actually, it's not passive, it's active aggressiveness.
Meanwhile, open your eye now. Let's see. You
I have light sensitivity, so those are my eyes.
Yeah. Hey, you're my fine. Oh.
Jiro.
Actually, you know what? Cover your eyes now because you just made eye at me and I just realized that that's what you're getting.
Oh, true, yes, and I don't want to be distracted. My mother
I
even
get
called
you.
me out when I was. She was like, "There's a way my eyes just pop up." Like when I'm like in shock, I go like,
Your eyes are like so expressive.
Very expressive. This is why I turn off my videos during meetings because I can't hide. I'm like, I look like that.
Am I the only person here? Is there somebody?
Are we being punked?
Am I the
Is
only person here
somebody?
that I said? I saw an IG recently that they said, I don't know if I sent it to you, that Zoom meetings are basically modern seances.
Yes, are you with us? Emily, can you hear us?
Are you there?
Are you there? Are you still in the room with us?
Let us now
I
join
saw
the
that.
meeting.
I saw that. I saw that. And like diagram, like the cartoon.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Is this the
yeah,
even
it's
though you look
yeah.
cool with without the glasses, but Sally's with it's funny enough, it's the glasses I've it's really one of those things that I'm realizing now, but I don't think I've ever articulated it. Like you actually have very expressive eyes.
I know.
And it took not seeing the eyes to realize like what I'm missing.
Now you want the expressive eyes or not?
Now, what the expressive eyes? I said that a lot of them is against me, so I don't know if I will regret this decision.
Actually want to keep that on because I mean, far be it for me to like deprive you of this expression on my eyes.
No, but seriously, I know if it's affecting your eyes, you can cover it,
Oh, it's
obviously.
okay. We're not like staying here for like
Don't
5 hours.
you just have glare screen or whatever?
It's not even that. With the winter, the sun is brighter than usual because we don't have trees to like protect the light and all that. And I'm facing the sun. I do have anti-glare on my computer on my regular glasses.
No, it's the sun itself. I thought it was the screen. It's
Oh
the
no,
sun.
it's not. My screens are good. Yeah, I have my
Yeah,
monitor. It's the
sorry.
sun.
I thought it was this. I
Hence
didn't
the
realize.
sunglasses.
So
Anyways.
wait, what was it you were saying about the sun? You don't have something when it's winter.
We don't have, my house, I have a lot of trees, but then it's so bare right now because,
Oh, right.
the
You don't
foliage
like.
is gone. We don't have, usually the trees will block the shade away, right? They block the glare
Yeah.
away.
No, I realized this year because I've never worn sunglasses, right? Generally. I know, whatever. Mainly because they're like cool and I've never felt confident enough to pull cool off.
I'm glad we
Unlike you.
both know that you're not cool.
Sorry?
I'm glad we both know that you're not cool, but go ahead.
No need to rub it in. All this violence is really not necessary. I keep telling you. Can be kind to an old man. What
You
will you
showing
do?
your age now, right now?
I'm not showing it. It's on me. I can. It's more like, can I even hide it?
Speaking of older, do you want to finish your story? Because I have a story for you.
Oh yes, I want to hear your story. But let me finish the story. It
Yeah.
just occurred to me last year I started wearing shades because I went to the opticians and they said that I had some melanin in my eye.
You're so black, you have
And
melanin.
I have melanin to spare. I have melanin to give away. Unfortunately,
Tell
there's
me
no
you're
market
black
for
without
melanin.
telling me you're black.
If there was a market for melanin now, like there was market for Brazilian bomb, she I would be rich. But nobody's trying
Melanin,
to.
melanin bought
There's no
lips in your
melanin. Somebody
case.
needs to make a melanin serum.
For real, for real.
Somebody needs to, so that black
Oh,
people can
somebody
stand.
needs to.
Anyway, so I realized like, why is there melanin in my eye? There was never melanin in my eye from Nigeria, where the sun is more. But it occurred to me that actually here, because the sun is lower. Is actually more in your face
Than
than Nigeria, where the sun is actually like
higher,
your head.
and more intense too, yeah.
It's more intense. I realize, oh, that's why, because I've noticed that when I'm outside sometimes, I actually have eye strain. And I'm not even looking at the sun, but it's just like, it's in your face, it's low. And like, yeah. Anyway, so I started wearing shades. So I got my new glasses that I got, where I got the transitional ones.
Yeah.
Because after I carried shades and glasses for a while, I was like, I can't be carrying two glasses up and down.
Why not just get transition lenses?
I just said that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I didn't get that
point. Listen.
I didn't get that point. My glasses, all of them are transition lenses because ain't nobody got time for that. Having to switch. Yeah.
They don't. But anyway, carry on. You were going to say something.
Oh, yeah. So I'm part of this, my group of college of classmates. My college classmates, there's a group we have on WhatsApp, and someone's birthday was recent, and I had wished a happy birthday, and then somebody came on and texted and replied and said, oh, happy 40th. And I'm like, wow, she's 40 already, so old. I mean, it didn't dawn on me that I'm gonna be 40 soon.
Please tell me that you're having an existential crisis because you
deserve it. Right there. Because I was like, I didn't know she was that old, and I realized that. Calm down, like in a few months, you're gonna be 40.
Tell me you didn't realize. Wait, I can't imagine you not been planning something for your 40th.
It's still next year, but still, like, I'm still gonna milk all my 30s. Like, I will squeeze everything out of it before I get to 40. Because I'll let you know, Professor.
In boy.
But someone in their 40s, you surely hold a lot of angst against this young one. Claude, I know I'm younger and all that, but please don't blame me. It's not my fault that I'm younger than you. I'm just saying.
Age is coming for you. The age came for you. It's coming for you.
The good thing is that it's not pausing as it's coming for me.
Pause, it should be that line. Is it not death calls for us all? Age calls.
Yeah. We should get into the episode. If not, we'll just keep talking. Welcome everyone back to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed that little banter. Maybe not so little. We've just ended up wasting your time or not. So welcome back. This is Mo and
I'm sorry, there's no time wasting here. I am a day.
This one, the internet is cooperating. Maybe we should not it. I know. Let's hope that goes. Because now that I even turn you on video, I can see everything. Not 2.5D.
It's not your fault.
So today I have my dear, I can't even call you a friend now. My dear acquaintance, I am in on the podcast. For those who are not familiar with him.
Is me the one to come and defriend in public?
He's a psychiatrist based in Ipswich, that part of the pond. We don't.
I don't really like the way you say that, Ipswich. I'm sorry.
Ipswich. Who put P's, S, and W together?
So when you put it that way,
tell me another English word that has P, S, and W together. Even though I know Ipswich is not
somewhere out there, I just can't.
There's no normal. No, I have searched and.
Upstanding.
Upstanding. Anyway, he's a psychiatrist based in the UK, and so welcome back to the podcast. What are we going to be talking about today? So I spent 2 months.
I would ask you what we're talking about.
We didn't pick two things. So there are two things I would like to talk to you about. I don't know. I think the second one might end up. Say again.
We picked two things. I wasn't aware that we picked two things.
Hold up. Okay.
Did you pick two things and in your mind?
We've talked about one thing, which is control.
Yours is royal with me.
Calm down. We've talked about one thing, which is control.
Yeah, that's true. We did.
Exactly. And then the one that would kind of precede it would be more like my time in Nigeria, because that kind of feeds into the control thing.
Mm. Yeah.
See, did we agree about this beforehand or not?
I remember there was something said about control. So
when I talk about your age now, you say I'm being, ageist and targeting the elderly. They're not going to say they should cancel me because I'm not very, very friendly to the weak amongst us in the society. But these are the issues. So his mouth is wide open.
You cannot see the podcast, which is everybody. I could not speak now because I had to pick my job before.
I think we need to reduce the video. Even though I look like I just crawled out of a hole. Anyway, so I spent 2 months in Nigeria.
You can't just say it like that and stop, because then it sounds like I was in prison for 2 months.
I won't call it prison. It wasn't prison. I'll just say that after... No, hold up. There are many great things that happened about being in Nigeria. So I want to be very, very careful how I say my word. But after spending 2 months there, I would never, ever, ever, ever in my life romanticize the idea of, oh, you know, that fallen, I want to go back home. Nah, I'm done.
Go back to the motherland.
Yeah, you know, I miss home. I'm just so homesick right now. No,
don't
I think I've had
grass.
My... I won't touch grass. I won't touch grass with Eruko Oshodi. Nah, I'm done. I think I'm done.
I'm not sure you find grass in Oshodi, to be fair.
There's not even grass anymore because everything has been deforestation and all that. And I should also, while talking about the things I'll talk about today, I should talk about the fact that I was very glad to have gone home. You know, being gone for that long is a privilege. Being able to enter the country and return, that's a privilege. So I want to acknowledge that privilege and the opportunity. That said, I have a lot to talk about. So let's unpack in this episode.
You're talking about the privilege, but also like you're not sure you want to exercise the privilege
all the way to the end. So I guess my very first question for you as the resident psychiatrist or the resident shrink is, why is that when we are far removed from a condition we're part of, like we're in, because when I was in Nigeria, it wasn't as if life was rosy, like before I moved to the US. But by the time you get to the US, you start doing that comparison, like, oh no, if I were back home, why are we so prone to those afflictions as human beings? Why we tend to romanticize our past states at the cost of our current conditions?
I mean, it's a combination of things, right? Isn't it? There's a greener grass aspect. The grass is greener thing. To be clear, I'm not, you know this, I'm just saying this for, people.
Yeah, general,
That's not a standard psychological or psychiatric
term. Yeah,
it's just we all know about it. Like the idea of things always being better on the other side.
Mm. But
it's more, that's more deeply rooted in our tendency to compare, isn't it? We compare ourselves with other people, but we also compare ourselves with our past.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes with our future imagined selves too, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Although that one is always all of them are dangerous, but that one is especially pernicious because that self does not exist yet, and you actually are comparing yourself with a self that may not actually be realistic.
Assuming everything is held constant, right?
You don't know that, right? But it does create on one hand, obviously, it's helpful. It's helpful because it allows us to do a lot of things. It allows us to calibrate, allows us to adjust and stuff like that for what we want to do. It helps us in making goals and chasing them. But it can also mean just never really living in the moment because you're always looking at something else somewhere else. That's one side, is the comparing thing. The fact that, and we're comparing creatures. Some philosophers have described us as mimetic. And the fact that we seem to be the only animal that has what they call mimetic desire, which is that we copy things just because other people are doing those things.
Are doing them, yeah.
Even when those things don't seem to have any inherent value in themselves. So classic example is someone has we've probably known people like this, like someone has a TV and then their friend also gets a TV, but now you cannot get a TV smaller than your friend got.
Because it has to be bigger.
Something as simple, but also you won't see in relationships, like someone is not interested in a guy or a girl, but then somebody starts to date that person, and then all of a sudden you see
their value goes up.
People suddenly, like, now that person is attractive to them all of a sudden, or that type of person is attractive to them. So there's that, but obviously there's also the good side of it, which is when you're around people who are functioning at a certain level, you function at a similar level to the people. You know, that's why you talk about yourself with. Because you want to operate at the level of those people. So there's the mimetic desire side of it. But then there's also the adaptation side of it, which I think is where we easily find trouble. And again, that's a good thing, right? Because we are good at adapting. Where it's like our superpower. We can adapt to anything. The problem with adapting is that once you've adapted, that's now your new normal. And so you're in Nigeria. You're hustling. You know, you're a hustler. You know, and you're cool, you're happy, like, you know, there's issues, but you're also happy.
Yeah.
And then you go somewhere else, and then your normal shifts. And initially, it takes a while to shift, you know, and then you have the culture shock, you have the, you know,
reverse culture shock, more like.
Yeah, these people speak English, but it's like we're speaking a completely different language. You know, and then you, over time, you know, the weather is weird, like, you know, like me coming to the UK and realizing, wait, you can have sun and it's sunny, but it's cold. And like, I, you know, like that realization of, wait, light and heat don't go together necessarily.
Yeah.
And all those sorts of things. And then you adapt. But then once you've adapted, that means that's now your new normal. And then what was your old normal?
Before then, right?
Is no longer normal.
Mm.
Well, you don't know that because now you're comparing yourself to your past self and you're thinking about how you felt when you were there and the feeling of being at home and all of that thing, that all of those things that you felt. And you conveniently sort of edited it out.
So, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, you go back and I think a lot of it also going back to the editing out. So that's, so there's the adaptation, there's the comparison, but then there's memory and the function of the way memory is a constantly shifting thing. We tend to think of memory as static.
No, it's dynamic, yeah.
Mm. And my favorite example of this is something that we know in psychiatry, which is that when people are depressed, they tend to remember the sad things.
Mm, and then listen to sad songs, it makes make them depressed.
Yeah,
also
just the fact that you tend to remember the sad memories.
Mm.
And so there's a thing where when you ask someone if they're depressed about their life be up to that point, they will often say things like, I've never had anything good happen to me, and they genuinely believe it.
Yeah.
Because at that moment all the good things do not exist. They are almost filtered out. Mm. And that's why it's often said that the best time to start bringing up memories about a relationship or with a friendship or something is not when you're angry.
Good times, because yeah.
You're just going to remember all the things.
The times it made you angry, yeah.
And in those moments, you forget that they did. And then that's why people say those dangerous words that you should, you know, everybody.
And you can't take back, yeah.
Never do this. You always do that. It's like, do they really never do it? Do they always do it? But in that moment, that's all you can remember. So it feels like always. You know, and so, yeah, between those three things, comparison, adaptation, and memory, we just sort of set up ourselves for this huge fall of romanticizing, you know, our school friends, our home, whatever lives we've left behind, our old jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, people even do this with relationships, and so they romanticize.
The abusive boyfriend that got away. Oh, yeah. You know, maybe it wasn't that bad.
No, yeah, and then you go back to a bullet that you dodged.
Yeah. God and win. overall feeling, I think going back, because I didn't know how long I was going to be there for. I knew it was going to be a lengthy period of time, at least a month, but I didn't think it was going to take 2 months. So I felt like I lived my life in two phases, which can also be pre-Christmas and post-Christmas, or maybe pre-New Year and then post-New Year. Because as you can imagine, there's a lot of drainage after New Year. Everyone goes back to their, you know, about most people, that is, and all the dirty IJGBs, I just got back and dirty December folks. And then you're no longer the person that came for holidays, like you're staying longer now. And there was also like a bit of...
The shine has rubbed off your body.
Yeah, the cataclysmic shift in expectations. Oh my goodness. But I'll say that I've been toying with the idea of moving countries for a while now. Mm. And I've come to the conclusion at this point that where I need to be, I don't think it exists physically right now. But in my head, I'd like to have my favorite country. That won't be bad. My favorite country would be, when I mean country, like abode where I can live, dwell, and, you know, pursue my sense of purpose, will be a country that has the social cohesiveness of Nigeria, with the communal living to a degree, and the advanced infrastructure you have in the US.
Right.
I don't think there is that place.
Heaven.
Heaven, definitely. And thank God I'm a Christian, because it gives us something to, you know, look forward to.
Yeah.
But would it be nice to just have a slice of it while we're here on Earth? Because I mean, there are so many times that the frustration weighed heavy on my heart, and I had to be very careful how I expressed it, because I mean staying with family, one, that was a good thing, but then the more you complain, the more you look like this petulant child, like, ah, what is it with you? Should be only here temporary. Like, how can it, if you think it's that bad, like, we live here, like, it's almost like you're calling your uncle Randy in front of the family members. Like, you don't want to be that person always calling uncle Randy for everybody. So there was a lot that I just had to swallow. I got to really examine, like, I became more like someone that was there, but also observing how I related to people and how everyone else related to me. And sometimes it wasn't always very positive. I mean,
like, the two levels, right?
Oh, yeah. And the whole thing of how, let's be very clear, like, classism is a big issue in our country.
Yep. That's one of our key, apart from ethnic groups, one of our key sort of dividing.
Okay, I think we've talked about ethnic groups so much and tribalism so much that we haven't given enough, like, even within tribes. If anybody's asking me, I'll say we need to start talking about classism. And I think it's so pernicious that people don't even realize it. Like, this they ascribe to people who are not very well-to-do. And you say, in the way people talk to you, by the time they realize that you have something, or maybe you have a bit of money, the respect, you know, goes up. And I see the way the people even treat, for example, their domestic staff. And I mean, my mouth was almost like, wow, like, I know you as a person. Like, I know that you don't believe this, but why are you behaving in this way to this person because they're domestic staff?
It means lucky you believe it. That's what
that
it
was.
Means.
That was very shocking, because these are like respectable, nice, kind people, but there's this belief that if someone is here with you, and I'm not saying this is everybody, you know, if someone is here for as a domestic staff, they're less than. And that was the most scary part of it for me. Yeah. And I thought to myself, was I always, maybe when I was in Nigeria, did I hold those thoughts? No, because we never really had domestic staffs growing up. Like, my mom didn't, we did more of fostering adoption, which is what my mom did. Like, she would send them to school. And if I think I've given that example. We have a now family member who stays with us. Everyone in my area would call her, my mom, Mommy Bimbola, because they knew her as my mom's daughter. They didn't even know that my mom, you know, didn't birth her. That's how my mom was with, you know, people that would come to her house to help her. So we never ever treated them differently. They ate together with us, you know, we did everything together. It wasn't, you know, go put them somewhere or go hide them or, you know. So that was very, very shocking for me to see. The human rights activists that America has kind of entrenched in me came out a lot. So yeah, that was one of the things that I saw.
I think that's one of those things that I'm going to connect this to a much bigger thing, but try not to overdo it. The thing that makes me think of is the way, which one of the things that you're seeing in the West now is one of these things where Christianity, long centuries of Christianity have so shaped Western thoughts.
Okay.
That some things just look obvious and normal. But actually, most of the world, those things don't happen. And one of those things is the idea that everybody is equal.
Oh, except you're Christian, yeah.
Sorry?
I say, except you're Christian, where's that belief, you know?
No, but like I'm saying, I mean, obviously it's a global thing now, but like it's one of those things that if it's because it took root in a lot of countries that were shaped by people who were
I see.
There's a level to which you see it in a country like the US, the UK, and all these other countries, right? But then if you go to places like lots of Africa, a number of Asian countries, South American countries, I'm not sure, where they've not had that. It's not like they don't have Christianity there, and obviously, like, but like they've not had that long shaping. It's not culturally entrenched to that degree. Do you get what I mean? Where you can actually see those things play out on a cultural scale. So yeah, you see lots of people who try to do the right thing. But the point is not about those individual people. The point is that culturally, is this even recognized as a normal thing or as a bad thing? And America is a great example because obviously, like, they had the whole thing with slaves and black people and that whole history. But one of the interesting things about it for me is the fact that they wrestled because they couldn't just, how do I put it? They couldn't just have the slaves and move on. They had to convince themselves that these were not human. They had to come up with all of these justifications, because there was this other thing where it's like, if they are human, then we have to treat them this way. Do you see what I mean? And so they had to sort of really go hard to really like, no, we cannot let ourselves think that, because there's a way we want to treat them, and we need to not think this about them so that we can do that. You know, and I think it's one of those moments when you realize, like, because again, like, I know many people, like, we had helps. And I know that my parents and, you know, they tried to treat them well. And, like, when I look back at how that was, I don't feel the kind of shame that I've seen some people experience. Awesome. You know, just because I look at it and I'm like, okay, within the context of what they knew, my parents tried to do right by these people.
I see.
So like with in my family, like when they had helps, it was always, they always send them to school. Like, I know I'm still in touch with some of them.
Nice.
You know, like via Facebook and all of that. There were a couple that, like, there was the first one I remember, like, she went on to become a seamstress and went back to our hometown where she came from. And then whenever I went back to our hometown, we would see her sometimes. She'd come around sometimes, you know, like, I saw her grow up, I saw her family and all of that. We had another one that went to polytechnic from our house. Like, he basically came in primary school, couldn't speak any English, learned to speak English, went to secondary school, left us, and my dad still sort of supported him through to finish polytechnic. The polytechnic was, he wasn't with us when he did polytechnic. Like, he left us after I finished secondary school. And then my dad supported him to do polytechnic and, like, you know, go for higher education. So that sort of thing is, like, it generally makes me proud of my parents. Like, wow, you guys were actually, like, you know. So for them, it was, like, this responsibility of, like, we... Because on one hand, there's the aspect of it that feels like modern slavery.
It is. Right? I mean,
But it's a tricky one because... So... For instance, I know that there's countries where, for instance, when people like that come in, they take their passports, they take all their
and things. And
basically, you've basically abducted them. Right?
But in their head, it's not adoption, you know.
It's not... I said abduction.
Oh, abduction. I thought you said adoption. Like,
you basically
abducted them.
Of which, thinking about that, I don't know that that happened because, to be fair, for these guys, they probably didn't have a passport. I think that happens a lot more in other countries where... they had to travel.
They travel, so like, you know, like Libya and all those places. Yeah.
So they even needed a passport to get there. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't imagine the guys that were with us even had passports. But I know that there was a lot of, like, agency and stuff. So I know that I'm not saying that everything around it was not shady.
I get.
You know, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like there was at least that sense. And I think that came from my parents, my mom at least. You know, and then my dad later when he became Christian, being Christian and feeling like you have to empower these guys. You can't just have them, use them, and then you don't do anything. You know, so for it was almost like a trade of you're helping around the home, and in return, you get an education, you mm-hmm. get empowered. And then the other interesting thing for me was watching how they expanded. Like, these guys coming from, like, the village. But then after a few years in Lagos, they were, like, their expectations of what they wanted in life had changed.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And, yeah, like, in my house, they could eat at the table. They could...
Yeah.
You know, because I know of places where, like, they wouldn't be allowed to even, like... They were basically treated, like, again... everything is just different. Like, mm-hmm. they can't eat at the table like everyone else. You know, they have to eat like somewhere else. You know, I've seen places where the person is sitting on the floor to eat while the whole family's at, you know, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Is there like a way to kind of like change his mentality? Because what was more pervasive for me to see was shepherding who they were. I mean, they think about the people in charge, like the masters or the ogres or the madams of the house or whoever is in charge of them. Some people that I know that they would go to bat to like ensure fairness and all that. But when it came to this issue, they didn't even see it as a problem.
Yeah, but that's how culture shapes us, isn't it? That's like the way culture like affects our ability to. It affects what you see and what you can't see. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. So maybe it's like a lack of exposure in a way.
Well, I don't like to use the word exposure because overused. And it, you choose.
And it kind of makes them feel like they're not responsible.
And do this stuff are exposed. There are people that go to other countries. They're worldly people. They're not like country bumpkins. Like, do you know what I mean? So I think it goes beyond. I think it's generally about culture and or worldview or the things that you can see and you can't. So for instance, you seeing this is just because you've been somewhere else where you've been shaped in a different kind of way. But having said that, like, I know even when I was in Nigeria, I was starting to question some of this
same
stuff.
Same here. No, I think it started from my house, like, you know, because
the question is, where did that come from? But it came from somewhere. I know for me, some of it came from Christianity and like understanding, oh, this is how we're supposed to see ourselves and see people. Wait, if we're supposed to see ourselves as equal, then what's going on here? What's going on there?
Yeah.
You know? And some also came from, for me, I think it all came from Christianity. But
I think for me.
Also the benefits of what I saw growing up, and then going to other houses and seeing something quite different. Because again, I can see how if you grow up seeing that as a normal thing, that sort of demeaning. And you don't think of your parents as bad people. So there's an element of, well, if my parents do it and they're not bad people, because obviously they're not bad people, then it mustn't be a bad thing. You know, and it's, I think there's a real moment where you get to a point where you're like, oh, actually, maybe my parents can be like decent people and the people that I respect and admire, but they got this wrong and they got that wrong. And that's okay. That doesn't make them less.
Less than,
it just
yeah.
makes them. It's just like, this is humans for you, right? Like, we can be awesome in some ways and horrible in other ways. And it's just part of like, you know, falling humanity and like, yeah.
Man, there's so much to change there. So I guess my summary of this is a bit, you guys check your hearts. If people still have domesticated staff in your house and they're treated less than, this is your reminder to do better.
But is it that, I don't know if it's that simple. That's the truth. Like,
why can't it be just simple?
Because the other thing I've seen that people justify it in all kinds of ways. People will say things like, oh, this happened. If you don't do, and the truth is, I know of people who've had bad experiences, so I get that as well. Where maybe like they've been tried to be kind and they tried to treat people well, and then they've been cheated and they've had horrible things happen.
I get that, but shouldn't that empower you to be better?
Found that their children were being abused, you know, the sort of thing. So that doesn't justify it, but you can see how for some people that just feels like, oh, you try to be nice, all you get in return. And again, this for me is a reminder of like, this is where it takes a real heart change to make you see things in such a different way that you can't go back, if that makes sense. It's like you've seen something so clearly you can't unsee it. And I think, yeah. And obviously good laws and all of that sort of things help. I don't know what the legal situation is.
The problem with that,
obviously, is like the people making the laws, if they are doing the same thing, good luck with that.
Yeah. It's like good luck with that, yeah.
Because part of the advantage of countries like UK, US, some of the Western countries, is that there are laws to protect against these sorts of things.
Yes, yes. Which also drives up the cost of... You know what I was even thinking about? Now that I even mentioned it. I think one of the things that really makes our country, Nigeria, great is the availability of labor, like cheap labor.
Yes.
And accessibility of labor, contrasting that to what you have in developed countries, well, more advanced countries like the UK or the US.
But that's why those countries then outsource their labor, which
it feeds into this whole human rights, you know, issues that we are seeing. But then the sad thing is that the people that are providing this labor, they're also the people that we look down on. And say, but are the people making this country really great?
Again, that's because that's often been the case historically. And again, one of the shifts that happened was when the idea of dignity of labor, again, was one of those things that was undergirded by sort of deeply Christian values that changed some of those, you know what I mean? That changed some of those attitudes. Because historically, the truth is that, you know, there was dignity of labor was not a thing. It was, some people were, you know, blessed by the gods and they could be kings, and the rest of you were, you know, you know, if the king smiles on you, good luck to you. The gods have smiled on you. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to like, how do you think of the world and the world and your place in it? And if you see it, yeah, there are ways where you can conceptualize it where some jobs and some occupations are just not worthy.
Yeah.
Hard to think that though when you follow somebody who is like the leader of your religion but who was a carpenter.
Literally. Story of our lives.
Hard to say some jobs aren't worthy.
Right. Wink, wink. Another thing I also observed was just the way we transact to one another, right? Oh my goodness. Okay, so I had to do so many things. One was get Arife, our daughter, a passport. I did a name change. Apparently, because Arife didn't pass the vibe check, when we went to do her passport in Lagos, the person that we reached out to help us do that said, and I quote, "Ah, madam, we know if we do this kind of thing."
Which kind of thing?
Arife was a thing. This is your child now, you boy. We know if we do this kind of thing for Lagos now, Abuja, you go. I'm like, what do you mean by that? Ah, now you're picking. Because she's light skinned.
What does that have to do with? What does that have to do with a documentation process?
We had her adoption papers, it had her names, everything. Like we packed all the original certifications, her birth certificate, everything. Madam, I know I don't see your document, but we know for this kind of thing for Lagos now. Abuja, I go.
Yeah, but I don't understand why.
If I had the answer to that question, didn't think I'll be talking about it on a podcast right now. I don't have the answer. And then we went to Abuja to get her passport done. We had to get there like 30 minutes before they opened. So we had to get there at 7:30, the immigration office in Abuja. I was there. We went there and then they had to capture her and hurriedly, you know, told my mom to take her outside and hide her somewhere because Ogam was not seeing Ibo in the lobby go cause wahala.
I don't understand. What does that have to do with anything?
Because she's white looking.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything? Like, I'm confused.
I mean, I have spent almost ₦1 million on a passport. Should I break it down to you? It takes you like, 100,000 naira to do a passport, you know. Let's just say a new passport, you know, 200 and something. I had to get a letter from Lagos High Court, affidavit, sworn and affidavit. The bursary rate was 250. The person that did it for us charged me 15,000 naira for it. I said, that's fine. To capture her biometrics, they charged me about 300,000 naira for it. I had to go to the Ministry of Interior in Abuja. Those are the ones that do your registry and, you know, all of that. To get a letter that cost me they charged me 150,000 naira for that letter. Another affidavit swearing that we as Nigerian citizens...
Are you sure all of this is not because of where you're from? Because
it's not because of, in addition to that, because they could also see her face. But what was the option I had? And now,
no, I get that because I'd say, like, if you're a Nigerian in Nigeria,
I wouldn't have spent that. But it should also show you how people take advantage of the process. So, right now, I'm in a phase where the person doing her passport is telling me that, madam, you go come pay us 250k extra because legal, this work done. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not paying you a single dime. If you like, hold on to the passport for life. I don't care at this point. Imagine all the flights from back and forth to Abuja and all these ridiculous letters and paperwork that they're telling me a piece of paper. Letter from the Ministry of Interior costing 450,000 naira.
Is it writing in gold leaf?
I wished. I mean, the stock paper was good, but nowhere near the amount. So these are the issues. And then all these names on my phone, Kinikon Immigration, Balogun Interior, Mustafa, Abuja. Like, it's like, are we really forming connections or just hustling around one another?
Yeah, that's oh man. Vale.
That really broke my heart. Like, that exploitation really broke my heart. Because I could see right through what was being done. But then you're stuck.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Except talk about it on the podcast, right? You're stuck. Yeah. You're stuck. Because almost everywhere you go, people are trying to shake you off or something. Oh, and yep. then they see your daughter and say, like, oh, I forgot to even mention this part.
And you, unfortunately, have a bit of an accent now, so good luck with that.
So Taiwo and Ari were supposed to go catch their flight earlier in the day to Abuja from Lagos, right? So he goes, we bought the ticket legit, like, you know, it was Airpeace, which I've realized that's like an irony for the things they do there. Taiwo gets there. The flight was supposed to leave at 6:30 on a Monday. Sorry, on a Thursday or Wednesday, anyways. 6:30 flight. He gets there like around 5. And I said, Oga, this is your ticket. No, before here. I better go try Arik. And Arik is on the other side, or maybe Errol. Anyway, they sent him to the other side of the airport because Muritala Mohammed, the domestic.
Arik has his own side
completely. Yeah, so you had to go all the way to the very end. So imagine him with a luggage and a 5-year-old. They got to Arik. He's like, no, this is not Arik. It's Airpeace. Go back. By the time he, you know, went back there and said, madam, this is Airpeace. They didn't look at him and say, sorry, I've already closed. I can't attend to you anymore. And her reason initially was that the ticket was invalid, that this is not Airpeace, it's an invalid ticket. And he kept saying, what do you mean by invalid? That this was purchased, blah, blah, blah. Look at the, you know, the ticket number and all that. She now said, and if you want to get on this on the next flight at 10 o'clock, you have to pay 60,000. No, 10 a.m. Remember, it was supposed to leave at 6:30 a.m. You have to pay 60,000 naira. So what validity are you basing this extra charge on? Because if a ticket is invalid, it's invalid, right? You need to buy a fresh ticket, right? Because you were sold a dud ticket. So with this 60,000 naira, I mean, when we bought the so he was racketeer, like ticket racketeering. That's what they did.
Yep.
They sized him up this because they wouldn't have done it to me. I'll just whip out my phone. We'll go live on this place together.
I think there's an element of and again this is sad, but it's true. There's an element of, because things are hard, and because everybody's hustling, there's a sense of, if you've got yours, I need to get mine, and I'm going to get it from you because, you know, why not? That's why, like, I remember, like, even as a child, like, I, not as a child, but like as a teenager, I learned that, you know, like when my dad drove to like the markets, you don't drive where they can see the car.
Oh my goodness.
Park somewhere, you walk there.
Isn't that sad?
Because once they can associate you with like, oh, this person is doing well, forget it.
That is sad, man.
It's like, I'm going to make bank. You're like an ATM. This was before ATM, though.
I know. You're right. Right. Because at the point, when I started going to the market, I'll have my sister-in-law. Shout out to Tola, by the way. She'd be the one doing all the haggling and negotiation for me. Because there was no way in the world.
Once you open your mouth, that's the end.
I mean, they'll look at me. They'll probably suspect that something is off with this person. And then we didn't like taking Ari anywhere. You know, especially to the marketplace or where we needed to buy stuff that required, like, pricing. Because there was no way we were going to get good price. Did I tell
you? They just size you up and they'll be like, this one. Yeah, I'm not taking less than.
Exactly. Ah, madam, I beg you. Your time where someone was calling her Oyinbo, Ari Fred turned and I kid you, she turned and wagged her. I'm not Oyinbo, I'm Nigerian.
Oh. Do you know what Oyinbo means?
I think she eventually knew what it was.
Oh, that's so sweet.
By the time we left Ayomide, she started saying, I'm talking, listen to me. She now do her eyes like she's about to go into one epileptic fit. Like, she's trying to eye your, or she'll his. And I'm like, girl, it's time for you to go back to Oklahoma. Because this is O and I adding at the end of your sentence.
Oh, it's cute.
Yeah. Mommy, I'm still talking. I don't know whether to woo you right now or just give you a hug for looking cute, but that's it. Andrea was stressful. And I think it also triggered a lot of my anxiety. Because I lived in a place that had good light. By good light, I would say 20 hours in a day. Average. There's some good days. There's some bad days, like in the middle of the night. They'll just take the light. Like, people that are not aware, we have power outages in some parts of the country.
No, you say light. Power.
Power, yeah. I mean electrical power. They had good lights, you know, very good lights, and they also had backup, like inverter, generator. But there will be a time where those three things will not align. Maybe the inverter was in charge or something, something. So we had moments like that where you were questioning the meaning of life. And because you knew that this light was not always constant, even though it was still not as bad as some places, there was that pressure to like do everything you had to do.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Yeah. You can't be a planner and do things whenever.
Mm-mm. Even the internet. Yeah. And when you do know how much I spent on data. To like get half of. Which good plan? There's no good plan. Forget. All the things you used to know about MTN and Glo and even the banks, like YouTube is now trash.
Yeah, I know, I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
My data was fine when I was there, although to be fair.
How many years ago was that? What were you doing?
2022.
What were you doing?
I used my brother had a little
Wi-Fi,
which
yeah.
I carried around because I basically used landline. I just used like WhatsApp for everything. Shout out to WhatsApp.
You can get with that if you are uploading episodes. Like the upload speed and the download speed, forget about it.
Why are you doing that?
Unless, a podcaster.
You need to get a tech bro and find out what their internet is. Because they are the ones that know how to get good internet.
You know what? I like the. There were some things that made like Nigeria easier, right? Which I want to highlight. So we had to put Ari in school for the time duration she was there, and I want to say give this note to Nigerian teachers. I love how they teach your children. I love how they teach children, and how they adopt this collectivist mindset in teaching children. So since Ari started school,
how do you contrast this with what's happening?
Oh yeah, calm down. I'm bringing out the bread from the packet. Aulan, that's the meaning of that in Yoruba. Yeah. So like when Ari started school, because she went from she was in a private daycare for the longest time where they had this Montessori way of teaching, contrasting that to public school. There was a lot of adjustments.
In the UK and US, right?
Yeah, in US, yeah. So there was a lot of adjustment issues. Like, they didn't have long breaks. They didn't have, you know. So someone that just started kindergarten, she spent 4 years of her life in this private daycare. And now in a public school where every 30 minutes was an activity. So she had a lot of adjustment that she had to make. And I didn't feel like her teacher was very patient with that. Like, you know, you get emails. Well, today Ari did this. Ari was crying in class. And I'm like, she's fine.
Is it the same teacher that was making you on second day?
Yes, the one that sent an email second day of class, of starting kindergarten. And I'm like, you've already formed your opinion about this child, second day of class. So tell me why when we enrolled her in school, and we bought a meal plan and also put her in aftercare, which was super cheap, by the way. I my phone was ringing and it was her school calling in Nigeria. My heart sank and I go like, what is it again? But they're just calling to find out if she had any food allergies. And that's about the only time the school called me. Every time I would go there, I'd be asking, so how did she do today? Hoping for like the probable shoot to drop. They're like, no, she did great. Like, she's doing great. We love her here. Oh, she has a lot of energy, but you know, we're able to like, her teacher still even emailed me. I mean, texted me on WhatsApp like 2 days ago, saying, oh, we miss Ari so much. How's she doing? And I'm like, can you guys just move to the US? I want you guys here because maybe you can come and teach them how to teach kids. Because I said it's like they expect so much and put a lot of burden on the parents. And don't get me wrong, we're not like absent-minded parents that we feel like the teacher should do everything. No, still raise your kids. But how are you guys helping? How are you coming off as that unified team to help a child? You seem to have these huge expectations without the proper support for kids.
Yep, that's modern world for you.
And I've heard a lot of parents complain about it here, especially those of us that have like a context coming back from you know, other countries.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are not teaching. Like, this is not what teaching is. Like, why are you calling a parent to be saying, you deal with it right there and there? I'm not saying you should deal with my child, but if it's in a board, there's an adult in the room. I miss that.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I hadn't really thought about that. But,
oh, no. I've been thinking about that a lot as a parent now. Whose child has, you know, entered school?
Like, I've heard it reverse thing where people are doing up to 11 in school and then they come here and it's like they've gone back in class.
Say again?
I said, I've heard the one where people have been doing well in school in Nigeria and then they come here and then they struggle. And
dude, you look so tired.
Excuse me. Sorry? No, don't mind me. Yeah. Well, and then, But yeah, I've not heard. Yeah, basically, I've heard that one. Like, basically, the thing of coming to a different country.
Yeah.
And then kid is finding it too easy because the system here is less challenging. But I've never heard one of going back to there after starting here.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's adapted back. And Ari being who she is, she's so adaptable. She's, you know, it's good now. But yeah, all in all, I think I was happy to be back home. But after like the third week, I'd reached my point of saturation. Like, you know, I'm done.
Mm.
I'm done. Yeah, so
hello.
I think we'll save the control episode for another time. It requires more context that I'm not able to provide right now because of, you know why.
Okay. Well, I thought I thought that was one. I wondered about that, but I thought you were going to do it anyway.
Nah.
Are you sure we can't talk about it at all? Just
look at you yawning like someone that is like in their 60s already.
I know that one is. Yeah,
it's fine. We'll find another time.
The yawning is because I've been.
You're bored.
No, stop it. No.
You're always struggling. Struggling with what?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this. I'm not really a nice person, actually.
I know you're not a nice person. I know.
A night.
Oh, I thought I said nice. I'm like, oh yeah. We've been new. It's just 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, 11 gosh. O'clock is, I know.
It's what happens when you're in your 40s. Like, you just.
Yes. Decline. This is what
this your hair is giving you Jesus Christ vibe, but your beards have started growing. They've been connecting. Oh, wait, the sides. No. The sides haven't connected. You need to use jojoba oil or something.
A little.
It's giving you black Jesus vibes. That other side is doing social distancing. They haven't connected yet.
Why you like this? Like, why you like this? Where did they find you? Just me.
But you know what? There were so many bright moments being back home. Like, I felt this ease of just being with my people. I didn't have to explain myself.
I know
there were true moments of joy. Like, true moments of joy that I can't even quantify. So when I came back here and I started hearing breaking news, I'm like, you guys need to calm down. American news stations make it so as if the sky is all about America. Like, you all need to hop on a plane and go touch grass elsewhere because there's a lot of things happening around the world that we're not being stressed about. You guys make it seem as if because this is happening in America right now, the rest of the world is dying. No, we're not. So that protective factor, I'm holding on to it for a long time.
Is that thing where... I mean, I still probably see 24/7 news. When you have to do news all day long, you have to make things up to get people. And you know that people respond to, like, agitation.
It's too anxiety-inducing. Like, how do people do it?
Yeah.
Look how big...
Like, people keep saying you should plug out of social media. I'm like, no, you need to plug out of...
Of news,
That's the real plug.
Yeah, plug out of news, yeah. I mean, look at Nigeria. Look at many things happening. See, like, yeah, if they were exposed to everything happening, who can stand?
You know about T-Pain, right?
Oh, T-Pain. Oh, who doesn't know about T-Pain? Shout out to my T-Pain. That Nigeria is like, our seriousness, eh? We're just on serious folks. Like, we'll find ways to laugh about our trouble.
What are you going to do, you know?
Man, but the cost of living, Ayomide.
I
spent more while I was in Nigeria. No, let's holding constant mortgage and, you know, rent, because again, that's based on cost of living, which we can equate to, but like feeding data, which is internet, transportation, I spent more.
Were you driving?
I drove maybe like 3 times. I drove from Lagos to Ibadan, by the way.
Were you nervous about driving?
No, I wasn't. But people in the car were nervous for me.
Say, like, I've worried about driving Lagos.
People in the car were nervous about me driving because
Why? We're not sure you remember how to navigate.
I wasn't very aggressive like I needed to be. But after like the second time of doing it, I started cussing out a lot. Like, you stupid driver, move away. You know, but then it still wasn't answered enough for them. And I knew they were anxious because the person sitting beside me was hanging off for dear life. Like, I'll have like near moments where, you know, you're just meant. Okay, one thing I found about Lagosians is that they don't stick on the road. Like, they don't stick on the lines. Everyone is trying to play Tetris, like filling every hole possible. Yeah. That drove me crazy, you know. And there was some moments you had to, and it wasn't just even the cars as well. It was also the pedestrians just darting in and out like an obstacle course. And I'm like, are you guys trying to die?
No, they're just exercising their freedom to cross.
Freedom to die? No. You and then the...
cross the road or cross the, to the other side.
And then Lagos being what it is, every time you go into the store, there were so many people. So when I got back to Oklahoma and I had to go grocery shopping, I was looking around like, where's everybody? It felt like the scene from a post-apocalyptic world. Like, you know, where's everybody in the store? I was expecting noise and, you know, people just... It was too quiet. All right. Let me let you go to bed. You're yawning. Thanks for... letting me rant. I felt like it would end up being like a vent session.
No, it's cool.
But next time we catch up, we should talk about the control.
There's a bit of with Nigeria where you need to be able to like celebrate it, but also like complain about it at once.
Like you can't just do celebration all the way.
No.
It has to be punctuated no, with complaints. Which also makes me sound very funny sometimes. Like, are you not being grateful? You know? But I'm very glad to be Nigerian because how else would I have all this contrast? I mean, grateful for what I have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Imagine just being only American. Ew. Sorry, no offense, we're just Americans, but... I mean, I have a home. I have a cultural heritage that I can't even put into words that keeps me grounded, and that's Nigeria. I might talk bad about her every now and then, but... Man, I would never trade that place for anything else. Maybe just for like a month and I'm done. Yeah. Anyways,
if you're going to spend time in Nigeria, you should just limit the time.
We should, yeah, we should.
Three
we
should. Weeks. Move on.
3 weeks is good. 2 weeks is too short. You know, 3 weeks is good. You know, yeah. But I was supposed to do all of my bank stuff and update all of my bank. Going to the bank was a no-no. Never ever.
Yeah, in Nigeria. I mean, there's apps and everything now. Now, why would you be going to the bank?
I had to do my name change and update my BVN with my new name and write a letter. I had to. They gave me a foolscap paper to write a letter to the bank manager.
Who does that?
The form is a. There's no paperwork reduction act. I don't think it's active in Nigeria. I had to write, dear GTB Onipan branch, dear manager, my name is Kinika Kinika. I changed my name recently by virtue of that. Please. So I've given up on GTB. I've withdrawn most of my money from GTB. I'm now into Access and UBA.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know how it goes.
Yeah. Anyways, this was the episode for today. Thanks so much for hopping on, and even though you slept through half of it,
I did. Oh, come on!
You were snoring and dozing through half of it.
Come on!
Just it's okay. Go on. What's going on? Oh, this is cute.
What's good?
Oh no. So we have to do aftercare for Ari, and they just sent us pictures of her just playing and having fun. Poor girl, she looks so cute. Now that because we had to pull her out of school and out of her aftercare program, we're trying to scramble for like, and there's nothing available.
Oh yeah, because time of year, right? Like everybody has been post-placed or whatever.
It's like, are you guys kidding me?
Where are you going to get something in February?
It can't be Nigeria. Like, Nigeria will always have space.
Well, that's what that's.
And cool. This is not even cheap. We're paying like $600 for like 3 hours per day. To keep your child alive.
Keep your child alive, apparently.
And I'm wondering how people just churning our kids.
I've heard it gets easier.
How?
I heard this recently. Like, someone was saying, like, so the way I've heard two different things, and I think they make sense. Someone was talking about how a lot of parents don't want to have kids because they feel like kids will mess up their life or you know.
Don't they?
Well, I love but there's Ari. Something else there that when you actually have kids, all of that disappears. And so there's something about, it's one thing to think about it theoretically, but like there's something about actually doing it that, you know, even when it wasn't, so there's that, even when it wasn't wanted, which is that there's just, there is like that, there's that gap between what people want or what people think they want and what they actually show by their actions. And then the other one is the what's it called?
Like maybe the older kids will help in raising the younger kids.
Something like that. But like basically like people I've heard of, and I know someone at my church now who's just had their fifth kid.
Huh?
And she's so chill. Like it's weird watching her work. She's so chill.
No. Did they have a house help?
No.
I want CCTV of their inside life. I don't care about what you see her outside of, you know. I want to see her in her home.
Yeah,
early in the morning. I need a camera, like hidden camera, just watching her life for a whole day. Then I'll believe how chill she is.
But I've heard it's enough from enough people that I think there's something to it. There's something about the younger ones just being part of, yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that the cost of, there's a multiplier cost. Except you're not giving the same attention and resources to the first like you're giving to the fifth. So for example now, at the particular stage, your fifth child might not be going for after school care program anymore. The older one can babysit them. So that means you've deprived that fifth child of the benefit of socialization outside of their siblings?
No, because the other one will probably take them.
Take them where? To the park?
To wherever it is, yeah.
I'm talking about with their peers. They can't go to Gorda anymore, any of those, you know, fancy after school care programs, because the older one now will be at home taking care of them and making them mac and cheese. So before you guys start talking about how it's relatively easy, why don't let us this firstborn, which I'm sure you are a firstborn. So I'm wondering why you're just easily just bending your knees right now. Your knees that have been knocking in your 40-plus-year-old, you know, they don't have a lot of kneecaps left. But let's just assume that it's not like you're bending your knees and taking on this narrative. Justice for the first boss, because I don't know for you, pa.
Yeah, see? Yeah, I don't know. That's the truth.
God save the kings and queens. Nah, I think it's relative how you say it's easier. Whose perspective are you looking at it from?
Good point.
Yeah. I don't think I can do more than two or three kids. Even three kids would be a stretch. Third kid, you've given me a living nanny.
Give me a what?
There has to be a living nanny with a third kid. Second kid, I might still wing it, you know. Third kid, there has to be a living nanny part of the budget. That's the only way I can do it.
Yeah, fair.
Because one thing everybody tells you, when you have two kids,
your
brain splits into two tracks. Maybe it's just my own brain, but there's that worry that just goes on. The train never stops. Two different needs in the background. And it's like, how are we going to go? Because every day is a crazy day, but how are we going to go crazy today? So imagine doing that in seven places, like my mother-in-law that had seven kids, or four places. Oh, Pharaoh, man.
Yeah, but I'm not what I said. They just, the research shows that they're happier.
So who are the researchers? Whose point of, which happiness index are we using?
I don't know.
I need to see that study. Find that study and, yeah, let me see. I'll poke all the holes with it. Because, well, yeah, serious.
I suppose the same way that, the same, No, it's okay.
Go and sleep.
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't apologize. How dare you apologize for getting older? That's a blessing, old man.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone, we hope this episode made as much sense as it made to us. But thank you for joining this most random conversation, offshoot conversation with my dear friend in quotes, Ayomide. Yeah, back on the board, but it's with quotation mark. In any event, we'll catch up. When next we talk, we'll talk about control. We'll save that for later. You have more context to provide.
Okay.
All right. Good night. Don't let the actually let the boy, bed bugs bite.
There are no bed bugs, I'll have you know. And nothing is biting.
Thanks a lot. Oh yeah, go and sleep. Go and sleep. This was the most of a podcast. Bye for now, everyone.